Well, we're beginning our study once again for today, little children. Today is December 21st, 2023 of the Common Era. The time is 22:14 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green with you again for today. And our study, which is going to be, I hope, exciting, as it should be, because we're studying these important, significant matters. I was thinking, what was I thinking the other day? There's a saying that people have, you know, that there are many sayings, of course, to do with time, but you know, when you're when you make a statement about time, and you realize suddenly that this statement has an application to chronology also, so that now I wish I could remember what I was thinking the other day or just in the past day or so, but it doesn't matter. It's whatever we say that pertains to time can also be applied to chronology. And we often have these statements about time that we make. But for today, our study is in the Crucible, the C3 article, chapter 2, paragraph 9, Amenhotep. The Egyptian pharaoh, Amenhotep I, is called Amenothes by Mr. Gaston Maspero in his History of Egypt, Chaldea, Syria, Babylonia, and Assyria, volume 4, edited by Mr. A. Sace of Oxford. Without leaning upon the crushed reed of Egypt, it appears that the only absolutely dated time in 18th dynasty Egypt is the heliacal rising already mentioned, elucidated as the 9th year of Amenhotep on a medical document said to have been purchased in Luxor. That is, the same site as that of ancient Thebes. In the 1870s, and dated from 1500 BCE, that ancient scroll is also known as Eber's Papyrus and is 110 pages, 20 meters or 65 feet, written in hieratic script. The date about the heliacal rising is on the reverse side. With much of archaeology consisting of the bits and pieces of forgotten civilizations, new discoveries often redefine beliefs about past ages, whilst documents survived intact. Chronology is the crucible within which these facts stand. Or indeed, fall. Making the Eber's Papyrus deciding for devout Christians, Jews, Muslims, or anyone who agrees to the historic tenor of God's Word, the Hebrew-Greek tome is the one document of the history of the times of humans. It's the one. It's called God's Word. It's the Bible, what we call the Bible. A great deal of history outside of the Christian faith has been based either directly or indirectly on that record. Only because of the recent upsurge of the internet was the chronology of all of history reviewed by our own work and made into the crucible that it is. The crucible that it is, able to refine or to define. The Blessed Genealogy is the defining chronology. We make that very strong statement. Our chronology, the Blessed Genealogy, is the defining chronology. There isn't another that defines world history. only ours. The Bible is found in agreement with the given chronology. The Ebers Papyrus agrees independently, decisively. In time, we will attempt to address the many other facts of nearly equal significance, testing them as to crucibility. The most important thing, of course, is that the Bible is found in agreement with the given chronology, but just, you know, to say that that the Bible is by itself enough? No, without the chronology, the Bible lacks something, and that's why our chronology is so important. It gives us our timeline, and time is so important. You know, they say time is money, and these kind of, every expression about time now applies to the chronology. Time is money means chronology is money. You know, time is money means, or time is whatever. The time is of the essence means chronology is of the essence. Any expression you can think of that relates to time will now relate to the chronology. So it's important, and that's the end of our study for today of the Crucible article. Mark is what we're going to be doing today, but I've forgotten to select our scripture for today. Wait a minute now. Just one. I'm going to have to take a break here to find this. We're going to have to go back. We were looking at Proverbs. It looks like Proverbs, yeah. On the 19th, and then on the 18th, we were doing Proverbs again. So we're ready to do Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, we're ready to pick a scripture. So let's pick one. 2 and 8. That works well. Does it or no? Wait a minute, maybe not. Hang on. No, that works well. Yeah. Yeah. Ecclesiastes 2 and 8. Which in the reference Bible reads, I accumulated also silver and gold for myself, and property peculiar to kings and the jurisdictional districts. I made male singers and female singers for myself, and exquisite delights of the sons of mankind, a lady, even ladies. That's powerful, is it not? It's so interesting how King Solomon had written about these things, such as silver and gold and property, and then he also made mention of what he felt were things that were just as important, which were male and female singers, and even just the exquisite delights, he called it, of the sons of mankind. A lady, even ladies, to make ladies is something extremely unusual to read about. And Solomon wrote that in Ecclesiastes 2 and 8. Let's get to our Samuel reading for today. Second Samuel 20. Now there happened to be there a good-for-nothing man whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjaminite, and he proceeded to blow the horn and say, we have no share in David, and we have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every one to his gods, O Israel. At that, all the men of Israel began to go up from following David to follow Sheba, the son of Bichri. But as for the men of Judah, they stuck to their king from the Jordan to Jerusalem. Eventually, David came to his house at Jerusalem. Then the king took the 10 women, the concubines, whom he had left behind to take care of the house, and he put them in a house of confinement. But he kept on supplying food to them, and with them he did not have any relations, but they continued shut up closely until the day of their dying, in a widowhood with a living husband. The king now said to Amasa, call the men of Judah together to me within 3 days, and you yourself stand here. So Amasa went to call Judah together, but he came later than the fixed time that he had appointed for him. Then David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba the son of Bichri will be worse for us than Absalom. He'll be worse for us than Absalom. You yourself take the servants of your Lord and chase after him, that he may not actually find for himself fortified cities and escape before our eyes." Accordingly, the men of Joab and the Carathites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men went out after him, and they went on out of Jerusalem to chase after Sheba the son of Bichri. They were close by the great stone that is in Gibeon. I haven't prepared this. And Amasa himself came to meet them. Now Joab was girded, clothed with a garment, and upon him there was girded a sword attached to his hip in its sheath. And he himself came forth, and so it fell out. And Joab proceeded to say to Amasa, "Is it all right with you, my brother?" Then Joab's right hand took hold of Amasa's beard so as to kiss him. As for Amasa, he was not on guard against the sword that was in Joab's hand, so that he struck him with it in the abdomen, and his intestines spilled out to the earth, and he did not have to do it to him again. So he died, and Joab and Abishai, his brother, for their part, chased after Sheba the son of Bichri. And a certain one of Joab's young men stood over him and kept saying, "Whoever has found delight in Joab, and whoever belongs to David, let him follow Joab." All the while, Amasa was wallowing in the blood in the middle of the highway. When the man saw that all the people stood still, then he moved Amasa from the highway to the field. Finally, he cast a garment over him as he saw that everyone coming up to him stood still. As soon as he had removed him from the highway, each man passed by following Joab to chase after Sheba the son of Bichri. And Sheba went passing through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Bethmaachah. As for all the Bichrites, they then congregated together and also went in after him. And they proceeded to come and lay siege against him in Abel of Bethmaachah, and cast up a siege rampart against the city, as it was standing within a rampart. And all the people that were with Joab were undermining the wall to throw it down. And a wise woman began to call from the city, "Listen, men, listen, say please to Joab, come near as far as here, and let me speak to you." So he went near to her, and the woman then said, "Are you Joab?" To which he said, "I am." At this she said to him, "Listen to the words of your slave girl." In turn he said, "I am listening." And she went on to say, "Without exception, they used to speak in former times, saying, 'Let them but inquire in Abel, and thus they will end. They will certainly end the matter.' I represent the peaceable and faithful ones of Israel. You are seeking to put to death a city and a mother in Israel. Why should you swallow up the inheritance of Jehovah?" To this Joab answered and said, "It is altogether unthinkable on my part that I should swallow up and that I should bring to ruin. The matter is not that way. But a man from the mountainous region of Ephraim, whose name is Sheba, the son of Bichri, has lifted up his hand against King David. You people, give him over by himself, and I will withdraw from the city." Then the woman said to Joab, "Look, his head will be pitched to you over the wall." At once the woman went in her wisdom to all the people, and they proceeded to cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri and pitch it to Joab. Upon that he blew the horn, and so they were scattered from the city, each one to his home. And Joab himself returned to Jerusalem to the king. And Joab was over all the army of Israel, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Carathites and over the Pelethites, and Adoram was over those conscripted for forced labor, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was the recorder. And Sheba was secretary, and Zadok and Abiathar were priests. And Ira the Jairite also became a priest of David. That's the end of 2 Samuel 20. We're reading the book of Lamentations. Now chapter 3. Aleph. I am the able-bodied man that has seen affliction because of the staff of his fury. It is I whom he has led and makes to walk in darkness and not in light. Indeed, it is against me that he repeatedly turns his hand all day long. Baith. He has caused my flesh and my skin to wear away. He has broken my bones. He has built against me that he may encircle me with poisonous plant and hardship. In dark places he has made me sit like man dead for a long time. Gimel, he has blocked me up as with a stone wall that I may not go forth. He has made my copper fetters heavy. Also, when I call for aid and cry for help, he actually hampers my prayer. He has blocked up my ways with a hewn stone. My roadways he has twisted. Daleth. As a bear lying in wait, he is to me, as a lion in places of concealment. My ways he has disarranged, and he makes me lie fallow. He has made me one laid desolate. He has trodden his bow, and he sets me up as the target for the arrow. He has brought into my kidneys the sons of his quiver. I have become an object of laughter to all people against me, the theme of their song all day long. He has given me a sufficiency of bitter things. He has saturated me with wormwood, wah, and with gravel he makes my teeth get broken. He has made me cower in the ashes. You also do a casting off, so that there is no peace for my soul. I have lost memory of what good is, and I keep saying, my excellency has perished, and my expectation from Jehovah, Zion. Remember my affliction and my homeless state, the wormwood and the poisonous plant. Without fail, your soul will remember and bow low over me. This is what I shall bring back to my heart. That is why I shall show a waiting attitude. Chase. It is the acts of loving kindness of Jehovah that we have not come to our finish, because his mercies will certainly not come to an end. They are new each morning. Your faithfulness is abundant. Jehovah is my share, my soul has said. That is why I shall show a waiting attitude for him. Taith. Good is Jehovah to the one hoping in him, to the soul that keeps seeking for him. Good it is that one should wait, even silently, for the salvation of Jehovah. Good it is for an able-bodied man that he should carry the yoke during his youth. Yod. Let him sit solitary and keep silent, because he has laid something upon him. Let him put his mouth in the very dust. Perhaps there exists a hope. Let him give his cheek to the very one striking him. Let him have his sufficiency of reproach. There's the turn the other cheek again. Calf. For not to time indefinite will Jehovah keep on casting off, for although he has caused grief, he will also certainly show mercy according to the abundance of his loving kindness. For not out of his own heart has he afflicted, or does he grieve the sons of men. Lamed. For crushing beneath one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, for turning aside the judgment of an able-bodied man before the face of the Most High, for making a man crooked in his legal case, Jehovah himself has had no countenance. No countenance. Maim. Who now has said that something should occur when Jehovah himself has not commanded? From the mouth of the Most High, bad things and what is good do not go forth. How can a living man indulge in complaints, an able-bodied man, on account of his sin? Noon. Do let us search out our ways and explore them, and do let us return clear to Jehovah. Let us raise our heart along with our palms to God in the heavens. We ourselves have transgressed, and we have behaved rebelliously. You yourself have not forgiven. Samech. You have blocked approach with anger, and you keep pursuing us. You have killed, you have shown no compassion. You have blocked approach to yourself with a cloud mass that prayer may not pass through. You make us mere off-scouring and refuse in the midst of the peoples. P. Against us all our enemies have opened their mouths. Dread and the hollow themselves have become ours. Desolateness and breakdown. With streams of water my eye keeps running down on account of the breakdown of the daughter of my people. Ayin, my very eye has been poured forth and will not keep still, so that there are no pauses. Until Jehovah looks down and sees from heaven, my own eye has dealt severely with my soul because of all the daughters of my city. Sade, my enemies have positively hunted for me just as for a bird for no cause. They have silenced my life in the pit itself, and they kept hurling stones at me. Waters have flowed over my head. I have said, I shall certainly be cut off. Quof, I have called out your name, O Jehovah, from a pit of the lowest sort. My voice you must hear. Do not hide your ear to my relief, to my cry for help. You have drawn near in the day that I kept calling you. You said, do not be afraid. Resh, You have taken up, O Jehovah, the contests of my soul. You have repurchased my life. You have seen, O Jehovah, the wrong done to me. O do conduct the judgment for me. You have seen all their vengeance, all their thoughts against me. Shin, you have heard their reproach, O Jehovah, all their thoughts against me, the lips of those rising up against me, and their whispering against me all day long. Do look at their very sitting down and their rising up. I am the subject of their song. Ta. You will give back to them a treatment, O Jehovah, according to the work of your hands. Of their hands, excuse me. You will give to them the insolence of heart, your curse to them. You will pursue in anger and annihilate them from under the heavens of Jehovah. That was Ta. I'm not sure if I mentioned that was Ta. You will give back to them a treatment, O Jehovah, according to the work of their hands. You will give to them the insolence of heart, your curse to them. You will pursue in anger and annihilate them from under the heavens of Jehovah. I didn't read that correctly the first time, but that was Ta, the last section of Lamentations chapter 3. And the book of Mark chapter 16, let's go over the account of the resurrection of Christ again in the next book of the Gospels after Matthew, which is Mark. It's in chapter 16 in the book of Mark. This is the last chapter of the book of Mark. And we've got a little bit of time. We've got seemingly enough time, plenty of time. So when the Sabbath had passed, and so we think of the Sabbath as being not only the Saturday, which it was in this case, because it was followed by the first day of the week, as it says in verse 2, but the Sabbath was also this series of the Essene Passover, followed by the Sadducee Passover, followed by the Pharisee Passover in the year 30 CE, with the Pharisee Passover being the last of the three consecutive days, and that day of the Pharisee Passover being a Saturday. So that was a great Sabbath, and then the whole sequence of 3 days was also a great Sabbath because it included not only the Sadducee and Pharisee Passover, which always occurred one after the other, but it also occurred, it also included the those 2 days being preceded by the Essene Passover in that year. It included the Essene Passover as the first of the three sequential days of Passover, the first day of Passover, that is, which is called Passover also. So the first day of those three sects, Passovers, were sequential, and they ended on a Saturday, those 3 days, in that year, 30 CE. So when the Sabbath had passed could mean all 3 days had finally passed, all the 3 days had passed, including the Sabbath, which was the Saturday, which was only a religious day for the Jews. No other nation had this, or, you know, it was originated by the Jews, this idea of the Sabbath on Saturday being a day of rest. So when the Sabbath had passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices in order to come and grease him. And very early on the first day of the week they came to the memorial tomb when the sun had risen. This is on the Sunday, the first day of the week. And they were saying one to another, who will roll the stone away from the door of the memorial tomb for us? So you see, Saturday is always a holiday for the Jews. It's always a rest day, and the first day of the week is always Sunday. And that's how the Jews practiced their religion. They had the 6 days of work, and seventh day was rest. But on Passover, every first day of Passover was also a holy convention, which was also called a Sabbath. So there were three consecutive Sabbaths, the last one being, the final one of the three being the Pharisee Passover day, the first day of their festival of Passover, which occurred on a Saturday in this year. So the next day after that was the day about which we're now reading. And they were saying to one another, who will roll the stone away from the door of the memorial tomb for us? But when they looked up, they beheld that the stone had been rolled away, although it was very large. The book of Matthew mentioned an earthquake. But the stone had been rolled away, although it was very large. And that part of it was the same between the two accounts. When they entered into the memorial tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were stunned. It doesn't mention the white robe in the book of Matthew. But here the young man was an angel, evidently, and he was clothed in a white robe. And in the book of Matthew, it was mentioned that he was mentioned. Well, we did that yesterday, but did it not mention he was an angel? Seems to me it mentioned it. When they entered into the memorial tomb, they saw this young man, and they were stunned by this. And he was in a white robe, and he said to them, "Stop being stunned. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was impaled. He was raised up. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So when they came out, they fled from the memorial tomb, for trembling and strong emotion were gripping them, and they told nobody anything, for they were in fear. Yeah, so they were overjoyed, as it said in the book of Matthew, but here in the book of Mark it mentions they were actually in the grip of a very strong fear, as perhaps anyone might be who was told that someone had been resurrected and or raised up, as it was described. He is resurrected. He's been brought back to life, and he's not here anymore. Wouldn't that not be frightening to hear that? I think that would be possibly very frightening. And trembling and emotion, strong emotion, were gripping them. So they were just fraught with this incredible fear of, they didn't know what to believe or anything. And in this account, it doesn't mention that they met Jesus. And then there's a short conclusion and a long conclusion. The short conclusion, some versions include the short conclusion. And it's not necessarily included. But it says, "But all things that had been commanded, they related briefly to those around Peter. Further after these things, Jesus himself sent out through them from the east to the west the holy and incorruptible proclamation of everlasting salvation." Jesus himself, in other words, he was alive again after having been dead. He was raised up. See, this is an important point. The resurrection is the foundational teaching of the Bible. Without the resurrection, Paul said, we of all men are most to be pitied if Christ was not raised up. So this is the foundational teaching, is the resurrection of Christ. It's not the fact that he was, you know, impaled and then put in a tomb and then he didn't die or anything like that, which some people assert, that they say that he never died. He just survived the crucifixion, and that he got up again and went on. And now there are people who do say that they're saying perhaps that he was resurrected. I'm not sure. It's not clear. There may be different traditions. It's not always clear which tradition is the one about which or to which we should pay attention or anything. But there are traditions that say that Christ, I mean, we shouldn't be paying attention to these traditions anyway, because Christ, according to Scripture, he ascended to heaven after speaking to the disciples. He didn't go away and raise a family, which some traditions say. But after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had expelled seven demons. In the book of Matthew, the women grabbed him by the feet, remember? So that is referring to that, evidently. And she went and reported to those who had been with him as they were mourning and weeping. But they, when they heard he had come to life and had been viewed by her, did not believe. That's the other thing. Even the disciples didn't believe that he was resurrected until they saw him for themselves and actually had him, you know, speak to them. "Moreover, after these things, he appeared in another form to two of them walking along as they were going into the country, and they came back and reported to the rest. Neither did they believe these." They didn't believe those reports. Would you believe that someone had been resurrected from the dead? "But later he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached their lack of faith and hard-heartedness because they did not believe those who had beheld him now raised up from the dead, were raised from the dead. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that does not believe will be condemned. Furthermore, these signs will accompany those believing. By the use of my name, they will expel demons, they will speak with tongues, and with their hands they will pick up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them at all. If they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them at all. They will lay their hands upon sick persons, and these will become well. So then the Lord Jesus, after having spoken to them, was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. They accordingly went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and backed up the message through the accompanying signs. They accordingly went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked while the Lord worked with them and backed up the message through the accompanying signs. But the Lord was in heaven at this point. Jesus went to heaven. He ascended to heaven, was taken up to heaven, and he worked with them from heaven. He didn't work with them from earth. He wasn't on the earth anymore. But he still could work and still works with us today from his heavenly position. We've got a couple minutes again left. We're done the study for today. That was Mark 16 with the short and long conclusion. So this is the day, right? This is winter solstice, and the sunlight's going to be returning as of today. It's going to be increasing every day from now on. We're going to have longer days, and so we're going to be back towards springtime again. But this is a very difficult time of year because of the lack of sunshine for those in the northern hemisphere anyway. So it's been difficult, and I did need to go shopping. I needed to pick up some supplements, so I went and got my supplements, which I'd ordered. I got some glutathione, some vitamin E, some iodine. It's the D-alpha tocopherol form of vitamin E, 400 units that I take per day. I take 400 units. I think it's international units. Shame I don't have it with me, but it's okay. I'm pretty sure it's measured in international units for that one, 400. But I'll check it again. But it's D-alpha tocopherol, and whatever it is they recommend, which is something like 400. It comes in a 400 unit per cap gel cap, you know. And I take one of those. Because it's 400 D-alpha tocopherol international units, and I take one glutathione capsule with it, because glutathione and vitamin E work well together apparently. And then I take my iodine every day too. Well, iodine is, I think, very, very, very important. We're done. So that's the end of our study for today. It's the end of our video. It's December 21st, 2023 of the Common Era. The time is 14:55 Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Crow, my automatic and windable chronograph watch, and Cassie, my reliable electronic watch, saying bye for now.